Good evening. Actually, Aaron, could you turn the lights down? Yeah, we're going to watch a movie clip to start. Less Robert talking, more movie clips. Yeah. Well, welcome to our Good Friday service. Let me pray. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for tonight, and thank you, God. Thank you for inviting us to come again, to come into your presence, God. God, I pray that you would meet us, that this would be just a holy moment where we take a step back, and that the Spirit of God would open our eyes to be in awe of you, God. Just in awe of your power, in awe of your strength, God. And that you are a big God, and you're faithful, you don't fail, you're not weak, you are almighty, God. So, God, would you move in these words and make your word come alive for us, God? Would it feed us and encourage us? Would it cause us, God, to just to come to you, Lord? So thank you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, so this is our Good Friday service, and I've titled the sermon today. It'll be short for our young ones. I've titled it God's Strength. All right? So we're going to start with a movie clip from a movie that I really love called Interstellar. Okay? Yeah, it's great. It's a great movie. And just to give you a little background, in case you haven't seen it, it's a science fiction movie with Matthew McConaughey, and the context is that the Earth is it's on its last leg. So Earth is about to be destroyed, and they're looking for a different planet to inhabit. So they send out Matthew McConaughey and these astronauts and these scientists into like deep space. So this is clearly science fiction. And they come and they land on this water planet. Okay? So one of the places they land is this planet that's 100% covered in water. And so we'll watch a clip and hopefully learn from it. Okay? So let's watch.
Wreckage. Where's the rest?
Where's the mountains?
Those aren't mountains. They're waves.
And that one's moving away from us.
We need the recorder.
Doyle, back to the Ranger now.
We're not leaving without her data.
Get back here now. No, we do not have time. The second wave is coming. We're in the middle of a swell.
I got it.
Rand, get back here now.
Cooper, go. Cooper, go. I can't make it. Go.
Case, go get her. Get to the hatch. Go, go, go. Emily, overriding inside hatch. The engines are flooded. We're going to have to shut her down.
It's one of my favorite scenes. One of the reasons I really like this scene in this movie is just the sheer terror of being in that situation, right? So we need to talk about different orders of magnitude of strength and power, okay? So we have like human strength. We have the Olympics. We have, you know, muscle and endurance and power, and we have weightlifting competitions and strongman things, and you know, we have human strength, right? We have human strength. We have muscles like Uncle Chris, and you know, except the legs, right? But we have, you know, we have muscles, right? We have human strength, and that's one type of strength, right? And power. And then you have, now I know this is science fiction, but then you have another order of magnitude of strength. You have Mother Nature, right? And the sheer terror of being caught in a situation like that, where you see, right? He says, those aren't mountains, those are waves, right? And then he comes out the back and he just looks up, I don't know, hundreds of feet of a wave that is about to come crashing upon you. And it doesn't matter how strong you are, as a man or a woman, no one's going to survive that. So it's a different order of magnitude of strength. I don't know if you watch videos of like storm chasers or, you know, people that chase these tornadoes or, you know, and it's just these massive tornadoes, miles long, that sweep up homes and trailers and trucks and cows, and you know, they're just flying around. And that's a different type of strength and power. And then you have God, who is infinitely more powerful than our wildest dreams. This is the best that a human can comprehend, the sheer magnitude of the power and the force of strength. And God is just incomprehensible. We cannot, our minds, our human minds cannot fathom the strength and power and might of God. Okay? It's immeasurable. We cannot measure it. It is incalculable. God gives us His word and He tries to describe Himself, but I think our tendency is to think about it in human terms. And God is just, His strength is incalculable. His power, it's so awesome. It's so awesome. And it is so awful. It's terrible. It is unlike any other, God's strength and His power. It's on a completely different scale than anything we could ever imagine. So I'm going to read from Psalm 44. Okay, verse 1 through 8. I have it on the screen. I chose the NIV version because I think it's, I like it better. Let me read through it. And as I read through it, the psalmist is talking about the strength and the power of God. So let me read. Okay, Psalm 44, 1 through 8. We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. So in other words, the psalmist is writing this, and they're remembering the whispers and the rumors of the power of God, okay, the strength of God. Verse 2, with your hand, with God's hand, you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. In other words, when they were going into the promised land, it was the strength of God that demolished nations and empires and rooted them out of the Promised Land and planted the Israelites in the Promised Land. Okay? Next verse. It was not by their sword that they won the land. Okay? So it was not the Israelites, it was not their sword, nor did they their aim bring them, or their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. So who established Israel, this tiny nation, who established Israel in the Promised Land, rooted out the enemy, rooted out nations and empires? Who conquered all their enemies? Was it the might of their military? Was it the intelligence and strategy of the commanders? Was it the spirituality of the prophets and the teachers? It was God. It was all God. That's what the psalmist is saying, right? It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. God, it was your right hand. It was your arm. It was the glory and the light of your face because you loved them. So God did it. God did it. And then the psalmist says, God, you are my king and you are my God who decrees victories for Jacob. Next verse. Through you, we push back our enemies. Through your name, we trample our foes. And then he says this, and this is important. I put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. That's not what you hear in the workplace. That's not what you hear at school. That's not what you hear in any worldly or secular environment. But the psalmist knows, right? He's recalling to his mind. Remember, he says, I remember the days of old. I remember the rumors of the power of God. And he's preaching to himself, I will put no trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory. But you, God, give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. In God, we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. So this psalm was written in the context of historical events that occurred. God led the Israelite people, you know, through Sinai and around, right? And then up to the Jordan River into the Promised Land. This is when Joshua takes over and then he conquers the Promised Land, remember? And the psalmist is recognizing here, just as a reminder for us all, it was not the strength of their sword. It was the strength of God. Right? This tiny nation, these tiny people. And he's recognizing the true strength and power of God. But I also don't know if the psalmist really understood how true and prophetic these words would be thousands of years later. So the question for today, the question for us today, okay, is the strength of God strong enough to overcome your failures? Okay. Because I would guess that we probably believe that theologically. Like we believe that up here. Like, oh yeah, God is strong, right? Like that's a common phrase. Oh yeah, God is, he's big, he's powerful, he's mighty. It's all over scripture. But does it go from here to here? And do you believe that God is strong? I mean, we sing about it, right? God is able. He will never fail. He is Almighty God. I think last Sunday or two Sundays ago, we sang, mighty to save. God is mighty to save. I mean, we sing it. But do you understand and comprehend the strength of God to overcome the sin in your heart? This was talking about victory over Israelites' enemies, but it was prophetic in that God was getting ready to take out the true enemy. Sin, death, the darkness, all that junk up in here, right? The perpetual, habitual sins, like you just cannot have victory over. And the question is God strong enough? And the answer is yes. Yes, God is strong enough. Yes, he is mighty to save. God is amazing. Now, we live in this time period where, you know, we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. So it's you know, Henry mentioned, like, it's the already but not yet, right? It's this complicated time. It can be complicated because we know Christ died for us, but we don't feel like Christ died for us. But on Good Friday, we remember God is strong enough. He is. He is strong enough to melt the hardest heart, to turn the most wayward sinner, to save the most uninterested, God is so strong. It's a different order of magnitude. His strength and his power is a different order of magnitude. If we're not careful, we will make ourselves the center of the good news. Make no mistake, God is the center of the good news. He is the one who is strong enough to overwhelm and overcome all of our weaknesses. He doesn't save you at your best. He saves you at your worst. All right? He calls you not at your best, not when you're doing a good job coming to church. It's at your worst. The blood of Christ is enough for you to call you at your worst. And you come unashamed before the throne of God. And he just invites you. That is the magnitude of his strength. And I know, like, I struggle with that too, right? I know, like, it feels wrong sometimes. It feels wrong. Like, you did something or you thought something or your attitude was just so egregious before God. And it almost feels I gotta, like, pause and wait a little bit. I gotta clean myself up a little bit and wait before I come before God. Because it feels almost unfair. You know why? It is unfair. He gets the sin, we get his righteousness. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. This is also the NIV. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The economics of the gospel, it doesn't make sense. It seems foolish to the world. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's not human power. It's not manly power. It's not made up sci-fi, you know, Mother Nature power. We're talking about the infinite glory of God, the magnitude of his strength. He can overcome the darkness in your heart. He has overcome the darkness in your heart. If you are in Christ, it is not dependent on you. It is dependent upon the magnitude of his strength. You see that? So for Good Friday, yes, we do mourn. We do mourn the injustice of the death and execution of the most innocent, holy man who was God that ever lived in history. Okay? We do mourn that. We mourn. We grieve over that because it's our sin that nailed him to the cross. We mourn that he was beaten and flogged and spit upon and speared and at the hands of his creation. Yes, we mourn that. But we celebrate. We celebrate the strength of God that overcomes the weakness of mankind. We celebrate. We celebrate. We praise God. We sing to him. We sing to him about his love and his strength. Because he is strong. He is mighty to save. His strength is like no other. It overcomes and overwhelms sin. It conquers death. His compassion is like no other. His loyalty and his faithfulness is like no other. His love is like no other. It is according to the magnitude of his strength. So let me read again just to close. Psalm 44, just those last, or some of the verses in the middle, 3-5. It was not by their sword that they won the land. It was not your spirituality. It was not your faithfulness to your devotion. Oh, that's a good thing though, right? It's not your theological intellect. It's not how much you did for God. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, God. Through you, we push back our enemies. Through your name, we trample our foes. So we stand in the victory and the strength of God because he has overcome. And the resurrection proves his power. So let's bow our heads, and I'll invite John to come back up. And John will lead us in a song or two, and then Pastor Henry will come up and just lead us in some time to pray and respond and just come before God. So let's bow our heads. Let me pray for us. And before I pray, I want to remind you, our God is an amazing God. He's strong and mighty, and he is mighty to save. So let me pray for us and let John lead us. Oh God, thank you for your word. Thank you for a reminder, Lord. We confess, God. I confess my self-centeredness and my self-absorption, and that I make the universe spin around me. And God, you deserve all the glory and all the majesty and all the praise from your people. You are the center of the gospel. You are strong and mighty to save. God, you love the most unlovable. You softened the hardest of hearts. You go and get the most unlikely, and you make them children of God. And it is out of the magnitude of your strength. You overwhelm mankind. So thank you, God, for your love. God, thank you that you're not like us, God. You're holy, you're set apart, God. We want to honor you and praise you, but we also want to revere you, God. We want to tremble at the magnitude of your grace and your love, God. So God, would you come? Would you help us to sing? Help us to just come again to you, God, as we are, to bask in your strength, in your good news. God, lead us to pray. Help us to pray, Spirit of God. Would you bring into our hearts and into our minds the things that we need to confess, the things that we need to pray over, God, the things that we need to hand over to you, God, in response to your strength, God, in your goodness. So, thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.